everyone. Welcome back to another episode of But Why the Podcast. Today we have a special interview with Lee Shorten, who plays Walt the Cheetah on AMC's The Terror Infamy. If you haven't heard about this show, you need to. The second season of AMC's horror anthology centers on a series of bizarre deaths that haunt a Japanese-American community and a young man's journey to understand and combat the malevolent entity responsible. In addition, the series is one of the first depicting the internment of Japanese-Americans on such a massive scale, complete with authentically recreated camps in scope and scale of post-World War II. As Walt, Shorten plays Chester's oldest childhood friend and a Japanese-American struggling to protect his family and friends amid the horrors of World War II and the Japanese-American internment camps. Now, we did have some issues with some of the interview audio in the beginning, so this interview picks up right when Lee is talking about getting into character as Walt Yoshida, specifically after the death of his father, Yoshida-san, in episode 2 of The Terror Infamy.
Hi, I'm Lee Shorten, and I play Walt Yoshida on The Terror. It was one of the early days on set. We shot episode 1 and 2 together, and it was like, I think it was my third day of shooting. So, you know, we hadn't had a lot of time to settle in and really get to know one another and find the groove. So I just, for that particular one, it was a lot of kind of soul searching and thinking about how I would feel, you know, if my dad personally was killed in front of me and all the things that I wish, you know, we could have done together or things I wish I'd said, and thinking back on all, like, the favorite moments of our life.
Yeah.
Just so that was all living in me. And available on the day.
Yeah, it was one of those scenes where when it happened, everything just kind of hit. Like, as a viewer, it was one of those moments where it's like, oh wow, this is real, and you kind of realize it pulls you back into the historical piece of it as well.
Sweet. I'm glad that this kind of did.
Like, for me watching it, because there's this nice ebb and flow between a traditional, like, Japanese ghost story, but then also the historical pieces, and each balance each other and bring tension. And when that happened, I was like, oh, wow, okay, so these are all coming together, and, like, we're getting introduced to what it was like. And the ramifications of what happens when you have a spirit It was really good. I'm sorry, this interview is just going to be me telling you how much I love The Terror.
Well, hey, you know, that's not the worst thing. I'm glad that you really love The Terror. That means a lot.
And for you, because I know you said you do research, you do a lot of reading. How is it stepping into the camp set? Because I know that George Takei helped consult on making it as accurate to the time and as accurate to the setting as possible. How is it walking around on set for you personally?
It's great. Our production designer, Jonathan McKinstry, is phenomenal. He was the production designer on the first season as well, and his work is next level, and I think you can see that on the show. And I think, you know, as an actor, when you have really great sets and you have really good wardrobe, it makes your life so much easier because you have to do less imagining. You just feel like you're there. And yes, the level of detail we had was crazy, next level good. And just being there, I keep saying this on the interviews, I felt very heavy in the best possible way. Partially because also we filmed in a lot of locations where Japanese Canadians had been interned or held. So you could just feel the weight of history there, which was, you know, I say it's wonderful. It's wonderful as an actor. It's not wonderful that these things happened.
Yeah.
But for us, it was pretty magical.
Because this is The Terror Infamy is the first time that we've really seen Japanese internment, like, in media this way, isn't it?
Yeah, like, I believe on this scale. Like, sometimes it's kind of like a little background element, or it's alluded to. But to be front and center like this, I think it's the first time it's been done.
Yeah. One of the things that has been a little hard for me watching, and I guess is a testament to the show, is just the timeliness of it almost. Especially, I'm Mexican American. And so watching it, there's this way that I know George Takei has kind of talked about it, where like it feels it's obviously it's historical, but it's also one of those things where it feels more like even more real than it already is. Are you all aware of any of that, you know, as you go through scripting and as you kind of like interact with each other or talk on set or anything?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for the writers, although I'm pretty sure, yes, how could we not be? Yeah. But I know for us, you know, especially George is a very political person, as am I, to be honest. So we had a lot of lengthy chats about, you know, the general state of things and that. And so it was definitely always on the forefront of our minds. In terms of, you know, its relationship to the show, I don't think it was like deliberately set out to be that way. It's like, God, I wish that it wasn't.
Yeah.
Time, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm laughing because I'm like, damn, it's one of those things that like, I'm not laughing because it hurts when time lines up like this.
Yeah. It's like gallows humor, right? It's like, you have to laugh because how else get through the day?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And watching The Terror has been amazing when it comes to exploring these stories and for you and playing Walt. I know we haven't seen too much of him yet. What has it been like just bringing the character to life in that setting? Because, you know, that's really where we get the most of Walt, right? Is in the camps.
In the camps. Yeah, Walt's been great because I tend to play a lot of villains, which I love, actually. They're my original love, mainly because I think part of the appeal of acting for me is playing someone that I'm not. Yeah. So I like to think I'm a good person, Slytherin and all. So the interesting thing for me was when you look at there's like three characters that are all male around the same age. There's Chester, Walt, and Ken. Mm-hmm. And it's like Chester and Ken are like on the opposite ends of the spectrum. And then I think Walt is in like the middle. And Walt kind of gets to, because unfortunately his father passed away, he has to grow up really fast and he has to kind of become the man of the family. And he's this interesting blend, I think, of Japanese and American values, in that unlike Chester, who sees himself as extremely American, Walt will prioritize the community first.
Yeah.
But the way that manifests is in a very American way, in that I'll prioritize the community by stepping up and standing up for the things that I believe in. And I'll put myself out there to take the brunt so you all don't have to.
That's amazing. You know, going back into, you know, the rest, in the setting of The Terror Infamy, it is focused around a ghost story. Do you have any like folktales that you grew up with?
No, actually. Like I've always been a huge horror fan since I was a kid. Like, you know, when I was really little, I used to read Goosebumps all the time. And then I read The Shining when I was 10. Yes. And so I've always been like huge into horror, but I didn't really have like a lot of folklore. Like, I don't know if people are aware, but I'm adopted so I was raised by white people and they don't really have that. So any horror I kind of found on my own, it was really through the medium of, you know, books and film and TV.
Okay. It's always interesting to hear because I you know, obviously I run the podcast and stuff and I always lead the horror sections and they're like, why were you watching this when you were six? I was like, oh, because my grandma used to scare me La Llorona when I was like 5. So it was just natural. They already scared me.
That's awesome. Horror's the best, really, man. Horror is the best.
You learn so much from it and you see the world. I think one of the strengths of horror, and I think it's one of the big strengths of the show, is it builds empathy. In order to have good
Agree.
horror, you have to care and you have to put yourself in the position of the final person, of your protagonist, of you have to get in there. And I don't, you know, it people kind of like push horror to the side, like, oh, it's just buckets of fake blood and only, you know, slashers. And I'm like, well, slashers are actually saying something half the time if you listen.
Right. I can agree more. I think horror has always been like has a strong element of social commentary, and it almost always either reflects or critiques the prevailing social norms of the time.
Yes, 100%. You're my favorite person.
No, thanks.
It's really hard sometimes when you have, because like neither of the guys on my podcast like horror at all, and I'm
really?
Yeah, they don't.
No way.
Like, we just did a Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark episode, and I was like, y'all, come on.
Get out.
Like, how?
Get
how
out.
Have you not, you don't remember any of these? You need to hear these?
Damn.
So.
Damn, they're missing out.
They really are. For you, what do you think is the best element of horror in the terror as a show?
Oh, I think for me, it's the human element. I think... like the Japanese ghost story is really cool too, and I'm a huge fan of the J horror. But I guess too is that thing of, because the story has never been told before, and because it's so timely, I think it's just the things that we're capable of doing to one another.
Yeah.
is truly horrific.
Yeah. And that really comes front and center with Henry's dad.
Yeah.
When he comes back. The human monsters, right? Because I think his wife says this is going to protect us, and he's like, "Well, protect us from the evil spirits, but it's not going to protect us from the monsters, you know, the real monsters."
The real monsters, right? Yeah, and you know, even in two, when they're rounding up kids,
yeah,
and it's like, yo, there's no way that those kids in the orphanage yeah. are spies for the Emperor.
Oh yeah,
like
because I think what? Luce says, you know, that it's an infant. Like, what's it going to do? He's like, it's to protect. And she's like, whose safety? Like, whose
right.
safety is this for? It's
yeah.
It's heavy. And I think that balance that it strikes is really good. Of balancing that in, and you know, the entire cast, from the cast and the writing and the direction, like, again, this is just me telling you how much I love the Dare. But
well, we won't tire of hearing it, so
so what for you, what can you tell fans about what's coming for Walt, or you know, anything else?
Oh, what can I tell people? I would say that we're going to delve more into the mythology of the supernatural. So you will get to learn more about Yuko. We're already starting to hint. So, and I keep saying as a general note, what I think is wonderful about the show is the women have the best arcs. Amy, Luz, Yuko have the best arcs on the show, 100%. And, you know, I think traditionally in the period space, that's not necessarily
yeah.
true. They tend to center males. And when you watch the first two episodes of our show, maybe that seems like it's going to be the case again. Because you're like, great, here's just some silent, vengeful spirit. And here's the kind of quiet Japanese girl or whatever, but they go on the best journeys and they have the best arcs, and particularly through Amy, and I think she bears the brunt of the human horror, and I just can't wait for people to go on that journey with her.
Awesome. So I do have, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I do have to ask, why is Doomfist your main in Overwatch?
There's just something really satisfying about one punching people into walls and killing
you
them.
You mean one punching people through buildings with your ults? And
yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
No safety anywhere.
Right. And it's like, you know, he's such a like hard carry guy. Either you're like on a roll and you're just like literally team wiping people and carrying hard, or you're playing the worst and diving in and getting instantly mowed down. But when you're on a roll, there's like nothing more satisfying than just like you leap in, you just kill someone, you punch another person to a wall, you like get back out, then you like ult in. It's just when you're in the zone, it's just so satisfying.
I would say if a Doomfist has a good tank or a good healer, I automatically am just like, this is gonna suck. This is gonna suck. Like, because I either play D.Va, who is, I mean, she's great because I get an extra life, but I got to get up right up in there, and I need to trust that the rest of my tanks or that my other tank is actually doing what they're supposed to do so I can actually move. Right. Or I play Orisa, who like bumbles around the map because she can't really move fast. So if a Doomfist gets me in a corner behind my shield, it does nothing.
Well, although on the flip side, you've got like you can prevent his CC if you've got it on cooldown, and then you can kind of.
So that is the one thing I love about being Orisa, is being able to. I don't know what the move's called. When I shift and I just brace up and I just stop the Rein charge right there, I'm like, it's just so satisfied. It's like, no doubt. No, now you're here and that Reaper's about to go on you. So sorry, buddy.
Right? I actually hate playing against the Orisas so much, no matter which character I am.
I think she's just so. The best thing about her is pulling people out of hiding.
Oh yeah,
piece for me at least, because I'm a tank person. I can't do ADCs. I can't do squishies.
That's fair. You must be like on Ilios pulling people into the pit.
A little bit. It's not as bad as I forget the name of the map, but it's the map with all the bridges that run into the center. And if you get a good Lucio, he'll push everybody off the bridges.
Oh, is that Nepal?
No, it's not Nepal.
Yeah. Oh, Nepal.
Well, that also works. Nepal. Nepal is also a terrible place against a Lucio. So who other than Doomfist? Do you have another? An off main?
Probably Zenyatta. I Zenyatta a lot as well.
Right. So you're into those skill players, like the ones that can't just, you know, it's not a soldier. You can't just pick those up.
I mean, to be fair, I suck pretty badly. but yeah, like I guess Zenyatta's kind of the same as Doomfist. When I'm having a good day, it feels so satisfying, and then there's days where I cannot kill anyone, and it's the worst. But c'est la vie.
I'm a tank. I don't get to kill anybody.
Well, yeah. Except when you pop off like an awesome ult.
Exactly. Unless I D.Va bomb an entire point with the entire team on it. Like Skaya Industries, getting an ult on that point while everybody's defending it is the best feeling.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I hate trying to push that map.
Oh, that's a hard push. If you're not set up right, it's and you actually have to have a team that works.
Right?
I have tried to push that map with three tanks before because nobody would roll out of tank. And I was like, why? We don't need a hamster. Damn. And we don't need the Rein can stay, but the hamster is doing nothing for us right now.
Right, that's weird.
Some people just, you know, they yell at you to be a healer and then just refuse to go to one themselves.
It's classic online community.
Oh yes. What do you play on? Are you a PC person or?
No, I play on PS4.
Oh,
okay.
That's the only thing I don't have.
Yeah. That's the only thing you don't have?
Wow. Well, I have an Xbox One and then I have a PC. Well, I guess I don't have a Switch, but I have Xbox and PC. So.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I can go on longer talking to you. You're real cool dude. Honestly, this is awesome. If you have one thing to get, you know, a new somebody who hasn't, you know, started watching the horror yet, the terror yet, what would you tell them to get, you know, to get them to start watching?
And then not into horror?
No. Just, you know, either way, not into horror, you know, what would you do to, you know, bring people in?
I guess I keep saying the two things that are important to me. Well, I mean, there's a lot about it that's important, but A, you never get to see it. Well, you rarely get to see a show, and that is changing with stuff like the Terror and Wu Assassins and this new Mortal Kombat movie, but you rarely get to see an ensemble cast of Asians. Yeah. So the benefit of that is you get to see different types of Asians, because there's not just one character trying to carry the burden of being Asian.
Yeah.
So you get to see the Chesters and how he's different from Ken and different from Walt, as opposed to, you know, like a show where there's just the Chester.
Yeah.
So I would say tune in to see the breadth of the Asian American experience. And kind of as I alluded to it before, I actually think it becomes quite a feminist show. And so tune in to just see, kind of like Wu Assassins, actually, although less ass kicking. But tune in to see some badass women doing their thing.
That is awesome. Yeah, so thank you for coming on. Why don't you tell everybody where they can see you, read, you know, talk to you, interact with you? I don't know. Plug your Twitter. Plug, you know, because I know you do amazing live tweets, which I love watching your live tweets every Monday night when the Terror comes on.
Oh, thank you. I just, you know, in a sea of, there's like 500 shows on television. So if you have taken the time to make our show one of your 500, then that means the world to me. And the least I can do is, if you want to talk to me about the show, I want to talk to you about the show. So, I'm LC Shorten on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter is my main thing though. So just hit me up. We can talk, you know, talk to Terror or talk Overwatch or whatever. I like to think I'm pretty accessible there. So
awesome. Thank you for coming on.
No, thanks for having me. This is great.
Amazing.